You know what the day is. It's Movies on a Monday. I'm Terrence.
And I'm Matt. And we just bamboozled you.
Well, Matt said something. And then, because he was like, I'm going to say something to make you mad before we start. And the minute he said it, I couldn't hear him. Everything froze. So I'm like, what? What did you say? And I didn't realize you started recording at that point.
I didn't say anything. I said, should I say something to make you mad? And then I went silent. And then you brought up your favorite people. You're very easy to set off, Terrence. It's very easy to get you. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about something else.
Oh, hold up. Okay. It's not that I'm very easy. You know what sets me off? Horrible things. That'd be like me being like, hey, let's talk about Hitler. That should set off anybody. It's like, that's terrible. Why?
I can't believe you're right. The Rock and Hitler on even ground. Absolutely.
Now you see where I'm coming from.
I don't even get that triggered about Hitler that you get about Rock. Like, Hitler's a bad dude. No, nothing good
Rock
about
is
him.
Bad.
But I don't freak out because, you know, it doesn't hit as close to home as apparently The Rock does for you. My bad.
He does. I at this point, I'm about to hate him. And I don't even know him. And I'm like.
Let me tell you something, Terrence. This weekend, I watched a movie. And it was called Bad Guys. And it was actually a lot better than I anticipated. Did you watch it?
We were going to watch it. Then my girls got in trouble. And so now we got to wait to watch it. I actually am not thinking this is going to be a terrible movie. I'm going into it thinking it looks all right. So
and it's not. I mean, how bad can a movie written by the same guy who wrote Tropic Thunder be?
So, is it really?
It is. Yep. Eaton Cohen. I'll give you a really brief review here without any spoilers on it. Not like this is a big spoilery movie or anything. You can guess. There's some things that happen in the movie that I had guessed from the trailers. I'm like, I think this is going to happen. And it does. I'm like, well, there we go. So it's not hiding. Maybe my kids would be surprised by certain things that happened, but I wasn't. Anyway, it is a good movie. I expected lower quality than I got. It's a good movie. This is a movie that I tell adults, you have to see Encanto. If you haven't seen Encanto, you have to see it, even if you don't have kids. This isn't a movie I'd say you have to see it if you don't have kids. But if you have kids, you can rest assured that you'll at least enjoy it as you're watching it. There's plenty for the adults. There's plenty of care put into this movie. And when I say there's plenty for adults, I don't mean like Shrek, where it's like there's lines that later you'll look at and be like, oh, wow, that was for adults. It's not that. It's more like there's plenty for you to enjoy as you watch it, because they do try and emulate, they try and emulate Ocean's 11. They try and emulate Tarantino's style. In fact, the movie starts off in the exact same way as Pulp Fiction. There's Wolf and there's Snake sitting across the table at a diner, and the diner is actually drawn to look just like the diner from Pulp Fiction.
Now you're already saying too much. Now I just want to enjoy it at this point.
it's just the opening shot. That's
well, even then, I want to be surprised, Matt. Okay, I want to be taken by surprise with things like that.
So, well, like I said, that's all I was going to give you. It's a decent movie for you to enjoy. It's not a must see by any means, but the kids liked it. I liked it. Good enough.
Did your kids read the book?
They actually have the books now. We bought them just before that, because they had been so excited for this movie to come out, especially Jack. He's like, I'm so excited for Bad Guys. So we got the books for him. And so they've been perusing them up until this point.
No, my daughter, my oldest daughter, she has read some of the books, and so she's pretty excited about it as well. Yeah. But did you see the Thor trailer?
No, you brought this up last week, and I still haven't watched it.
You still haven't watched it?
Nope.
What?
If I'm gonna watch it, it's gonna happen organically, and I'm sure it'll be at the beginning of Doctor Strange 2, and I'll be like, oh, there it is. I've seen this trailer. But
all right, let me give you my this is what I think the movie's gonna be. Okay, And I think this could be actually really, really cool if they do this. So basically after, you know, Infinity War, Thor, he goes with the Guardians of the Galaxy and he's like a god with no purpose now. He just gets to find his own path. And so that's kind of like what the trailer set up, is Thor just like chilling out. He's come to peace. He doesn't want to fight no more. And so he's just trying to find what he wants to do for the rest of his god life, I guess. Now, you have a villain named Gore the God Butcher. And here's the deal. First, they don't show him in the trailer at all. They don't even mention him in the trailer. That's what threw me off at first. But I think what they're doing is with Gore the God Butcher, his whole backstory is that his wife is dying and he prays to God and he's devout and he prays and the gods do nothing. And then he finds two gods fighting amongst each other about their own personal stuff. And so he gets angry, he kills the gods, and he's like, you know what? These gods don't care. I'm just going to kill all gods. So he goes around and does that. Meanwhile, you have Natalie Portman's character, aka Thor's ex-girlfriend. And for her, in this movie, and I'm not giving anything away, like this is just what it is. She has cancer. But every time somebody has to be Thor. Somebody has got to be the God of Thunder. So she picks it up and she becomes the mighty Thor. But the thing about it is every single time she uses the power, her cancer gets worse and worse and worse. Now, let's mix all those things together. You got a God that doesn't want to be a God no more and he's going around. You got one guy that's angry that the gods didn't do anything to help him. And so he's killing them for revenge. And then you have another person who's dying, but is dying to help people. And she's taking up a mantle that she probably shouldn't take up, but she's doing it. Like, this could be a really, really deep, like, Thor movie that I was not expecting to see. But they have all the elements in it to make it, like, super deep.
So I don't know how much of that is confirmed or how much of it was your speculation, because I know that also one of the big stories is like the pitch of this movie and its synopsis is all about Valkyrie and her as the queen of Asgard, as she's looking for her queen. I think that's what it was. Like, she is trying to find who she's going to have serve alongside of her. And I thought there was like this idea of like this love triangle between her and Jane Foster and Thor, and I thought that's what they're alluding to in that synopsis. But so I don't know exactly where that would fit in of what you're talking about. I don't know, like I said, how much of it is confirmed what you're sharing and how much is speculation.
I hope that's not the thing, because if they go that route, then I'm like, you're wasting a good character in Jane Foster. And just what they said, that they're going to have her deal with cancer. I think this would be a good way to kill off her character, and it would serve the story purpose even better. But
it would feel weird for them to finally bring her back after all that time just to kill her. I mean, I know she was in Endgame, but I felt like she was in Endgame in order to bring her back to the focus for her to be in Thor Love and Thunder, and not in order to like set up, hey, you're gonna die.
Well, I think it's just them closing off loose ends, because Natalie Portman's never been a huge Marvel fan, even when she was in the movies. And so I think she was supposed to be in the director that she chose for the second woman, Patty Jenkins, she dropped out. And so after that, she was like, I'm done. I'm out. And then they brought her back. And so I think that with all the behind the scenes stuff going on, like, she's going to die. That's what I think. Maybe. Just to close off her character.
Here, that is the official Terrence spoiler guess. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see.
Terrence, I feel like there's been so many of these guesses you've made and none of them have panned out.
That's not true.
And then there was like me, like a year before Hobbs and Shaw came out, and be like, by the way, Kevin Hart's gonna pop up. And he did. And it's just like the spoiler that you didn't want happened, and all the other stuff they like, I really hope this happens.
Okay, you didn't have no inside knowledge. You did. There was nothing that was just pulling it out of thin air. And it's like, what's the stupidest thing they could do? Oh, they heard that? Okay, they're going to do that. They're like, let's be stupid. We're going to run with stupid on this one.
No, my inside knowledge was just knowing the nature of Hollywood, the nature of The Rock, and the nature of this type of movie. I'm like, Kevin Hart's going to find a way into this somehow. And he did.
It's dumb. I did not. You know what? Today, we are talking about movies that we should have saw, but we haven't seen yet. That movie is not on my list. I know for a fact I don't ever need to see that movie in my life. And you know what? I won't. I will not see that movie ever. And I don't feel bad about it.
So I'm going to give a shout out. I don't know how much he listens to these, and I don't know if he's even listening to this right now, but the inspiration for this episode came from, I was talking with my nephew-in-law, Noah, and we were talking about movies that were like, I should have seen these. I know I haven't. And his big one that threw me for a loop was, he's like, I don't think I've ever seen fully Jurassic Park. And I'm like, no, that's the one you have to go watch.
What?
I don't care if you've seen Jurassic World. I don't care if you've seen other ones. Go watch the original Jurassic Park, because it's amazing. So
how do you not watch the original Jurassic Park?
I don't know, man. Some parents, you know.
Even my girls have watched Jurassic Park, and they're not even old enough to watch it.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's why I was like, you go watch it. There's other ones he threw out. I'm like, it makes sense that you haven't seen them. You should watch this, but it makes sense. But that was the one I was like, oh. So my hope is that if you're listening, that we're going to throw out a couple that like pain you. That's kind of my hope. My hope is for this to be a little bit of a cringe episode for both Terrence and myself, and also for you to be like, why have you not seen that? So
I guarantee one of them will be a cringe. Like, everybody that's listening will be like, really, Terrence? Really? And I'm like, I just haven't seen it.
I don't know how my approach should be, if I should work up to that, or if I should start off with like the biggest one that you might have a shock about.
No, let's work up to it.
All right. Well, here's an oldie that I haven't seen that my grandfather loved. His favorite movie was Casablanca, and it is a classic film, and I know plenty about it, but I've never watched it. So,
yep. Same. I actually have that on my list too. I'm like, I know lines from it. I know the gist of it. I just have never seen that movie.
Yeah. And I know, like, if you've ever been on the Great Movie Ride back when it was existed in Disney MGM Studios, now it's Hollywood Studios. But that was like a scene that was on there. And like the scene where he has to say goodbye to her. And Humphrey Bogart has to say goodbye to Ingrid Bergman. I don't know their character names. I'm sorry. I don't. So he has to say goodbye to her. And so they have this scene on the airport that's very emotional. And like I said, my grandpa, he's like, I've only ever cried at that movie and Sleepless in Seattle. I'm like, you cried at Sleepless in Seattle? That's a weird combo, but okay.
Sleepless in Seattle.
But they actually had like a real half plane in that scene on the ride, and they would have the propeller jet randomly spin at certain points, like it was getting started up. And so they actually used a real plane for that little scene in the ride as you're going by it.
Weird.
Yep.
It's a movie that is a legend, but never seen it.
All right, hit me with one from you, from yours.
All right. The movie Trainspotting.
Okay, I haven't seen it either.
Really?
Yep.
Ewan McGregor, if you guys don't know, this is probably one of the best movies to come out of Britain. Like, this movie is about they're teenagers, I guess, or young adults, and they're addicted to heroin. And it's like them kind of like living the life as teenagers, but yet dealing with addiction. And I hear it's pretty serious. A lot of people, this is what started Ewan McGregor. This is like his big like coming out movie. And I've never seen it. I hear about it all the time. Never seen. They actually made a sequel to it a couple of years ago. Never saw it.
Yeah, and train culture is not as huge in America as it, like, there's there are some train enthusiasts for sure, but freaking in Europe especially, like, the train system, there's a bit in Asia too, but like the Euro travel system that they have there, like people traveling and living on trains and all that sort of stuff, it's nuts how much, like, how different that is versus how it is in America.
Yeah. Never seen it.
Well, there you go. All right, let's I'm gonna jump to one of my more recent ones because a lot of these are old. So this is the most recent movie on my list that I haven't seen, and I keep wanting to watch it, but I just don't. I'm not, it's a certain movie you have to be in the mood to read because it's subtitles, and I haven't seen Parasite yet. And
That was actually on my list.
Oh, look at that. Oh my gosh. I'm just going to take all of your movies. Terrence, you and I, we've got some movies we need to watch, apparently.
Obviously.
I know there's some.
Probably was on my next thing I was going to say.
I know there are some people that are like, I can't get past like movies that aren't American cinema. And I get it. I understand. I don't so much have that problem. I just like, if I'm going to have to read the movie, you have to be in a certain mindset and a certain place where you want to do that. And anytime that I'm in that spot, then I usually have something else that I'm watching or whatever. Like, it's even been a while since I thought, am I in the mood to watch Parasite? Because it was like for 3 months after the Oscars, once it won Best Picture, I kept like bringing it up like, oh, I should watch this. No, I'm not in the mood right now. Kept doing that.
No, every time I'm like sitting there, wife and I are talking, I'm like, you know what? Let's watch Parasite. She's like, I don't want to read. And I'm like, girl, you leave subtitles on everything. Even on The Office, you read the subtitles on the Office. You're telling me we can't watch a movie because you don't want to read, but you know all the lines of The Office and you don't want to, that makes no sense. It doesn't.
No, it makes perfect sense to me because I'm the same way. I have subtitles on all my stuff. I have subtitles on this Zoom call right now. I have someone in real time typing out what you're saying just to make sure that I don't miss anything.
My goodness. That's ridiculous.
You misspelled ridiculous, stenographer. You need to fix that.
Next. All right. My other one is, I had it. The Big Lebowski.
Oh, now that I have seen.
See, everybody says this is good. I feel like it's a movie that would actually be like up my alley with Coen Brothers and all that. I've never seen it.
There are some great lines in it. This is a really good John Goodman role. I mean, like, I don't think he gives bad performances, but this is definitely just such an odd role for him. This Vietnam vet who is like on the verge of violence at any given time and who is very, very devoted to not rolling, to not bowling on Saturdays because that's the Sabbath. And he calls it Shabbat. And so he's like, I don't roll on Shabbat. He's just like freaking out. And he takes his bowling so seriously. It is funny. There's a lot of tremendous lines. One of my favorites is, I don't know if you know this, Philip Seymour Hoffman's in this movie.
Oh, really?
But he's talking about one of these women at the mansion of Lebowski, and she's like, oh, she's a nihilist. And Jeff Bridges is like, oh, that sounds exhausting. I love it. It's okay. My brother, like, this is one of his favorite movies. This is one of his, but I'm like, I take it or leave it. It's a Coen Brothers style, and Coen Brothers is very specific. And there is no Coen Brothers movie that I'm like, I love this. I respect what they do, but there's not anything that I'm like, yeah, this is so good.
No, I would agree. I've never seen a Coen Brothers movie where I was like, yeah, this movie's awesome. Like, it's like, all right, that's cool. But no, I would agree with you.
Oh, just look at that. We got a movie that one of us has seen. How about that?
Now, just so you know, if it seems like there's an odd pause between my response and Matt talking, it's because it keeps cutting out on me. It cuts out at random point. Like even right now, I don't know if you're there or not, but it just keeps cutting out. So I apologize ahead of time.
I'm also not moving a whole lot. And they, your vision's based on movement. You're like a T-Rex right now. So
it's true. Like, maybe stop moving. I'm like, is he there? I can't even hear him.
I'll just keep moving my head back and forth so you know, like a pendulum. All right. Here's one I have never seen. Oh, you know what? I'll just say all of these. I was going to say the movie First Blood, but I actually haven't seen any Rambo movies. No Rambo films.
Wow. That's wow. Okay. You didn't even see the one that came out a couple of years ago where it's like just senseless violence and he's on the ranch and like he literally shoots somebody with like a whole like machine gun right in front and pieces up. You never saw that one either?
Which is so funny because the original one was about him having to kill someone and then living with the trauma of murdering one person and how far he's come in that time.
He's like, I don't even care anymore.
I'm so desensitized.
That's crazy. Wow. I thought we talked about that movie.
It took me a long time actually to even see Rocky films. Now I think I've seen all but Rocky Balboa. Yeah, I haven't seen Rocky Balboa. So I've seen both Creeds and I've seen Rocky 1 through 4. But
you don't need to see Rocky Balboa. It was, well, there's another one. There's Rocky 5.
Oh, then I haven't seen that either.
Yeah, I think that's the worst one ever.
Okay. Well, good to know. I'm glad I picked the two spots to stop.
Yeah, it's dumb. All right. Are you ready for my big shocker?
I've got like six more things on mine. Do you only have like...
Okay. If that's the case, if that's where you want to go with it, let me see here. I had one. I wrote it down and then I can't find it. Why don't you give me your next one and I'll tell you mine.
So I was going to stay in the same sort of realm as this because Steven, it's not Steven Seagal, Sylvester Stallone, that's it. I don't know why I blanked on his name, but you know, he was one that hadn't seen a lot of this stuff. So I was intentional about watching at least Rockies. Now there's another person that I've seen a lot of his like later stuff, but some of his early things for like Oscar nominations and some of his most prestigious films I actually haven't seen, and that's Robert De Niro. So I haven't seen Taxi Driver, I haven't seen Raging Bull, and I haven't seen Deer Hunter.
I literally, that was my next, I wrote down too. I was like, man, I gotta find the names of those again. Exactly, I haven't seen those.
Well, there you go. And those, like, I think if I was going to watch one and try and prioritize one, I'd definitely prioritize Taxi Driver. I know that, like, the movie Joker was very reminiscent of Taxi Driver and a lot of that same feeling and same pull of that. So I'd be interested to see it. I knowing what I know about it, I don't think I would walk away and be like, yeah, that's my kind of movie. I would just be more like, okay, I've seen it. Achievement unlocked.
Oh, all right. Here's one that I wrote down. I'm really ashamed of. Okay. Uh-oh. Don't get mad at me.
Too late.
I actually never seen The Usual Suspects.
This is like right up your alley. I feel like you have talked about Usual Suspects like you've seen it.
I know about it and I know a lot of it. And I can even tell you who the guy is at the end. I can tell you even how he reveals himself, where he walks away and he changes. I know all of that. Never seen the movie.
So there's a spot where in the movie, I hadn't for a while, and I actually knew probably all the same stuff that you knew before I saw mine too. But there's a spot where, because it starts kind of at the end, and then not really. It starts at someone's death and then it jumps into like the Kevin Spacey being interrogated, but then it kind of like bounces back and forth from the interrogation back to what happened. And all the usual suspects are arrested and they're all in a lineup. And then they all start kind of like laughing during this lineup, and they're all like, you know, they can't control their laughter. And it's an odd scene, but the reason why it wasn't supposed to be that way, the reason why they all start laughing is because Benicio del Toro starts farting in real life, and they all couldn't just hold it in. And it ends up working like really well. It's such an unusual sequence to have all these guys just laughing in the face of their arresting. So
see, I even knew that part too.
Look at that.
I've never seen the movie. I probably should. And I feel like now if I watch it, it's not going to have the same effect because I do know all these things. I do know the twist at the end. And so I'm like,
yeah, I watched it and it was a letdown for me. And I imagine it's probably for that same reason.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. I am shocked about that, though. That's very surprising.
I know. I feel bad, but
I'm going to go. Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm.
No, go for it.
I was going to say, I was going to go way, way back, about 100 years ago back, and hit Singing in the Rain. There's a lot of like that generation that, you know, plenty of these musicals at that time. I felt like Singing in the Rain was like one of the most popular of musicals in that time frame. And I haven't seen it. I haven't really seen any of those musicals. I saw like parts of West Side Story. I hadn't ever seen like the full thing. I remember because we talked about West Side Story not too long ago. And I saw parts of West Side Story. I don't know if I ever watched the whole thing together. But Singing in the Rain was one that had kind of been in the back of my mind. Like, I should watch this, but just have never gotten around to it.
I don't feel like I should watch that. I feel like it is what it is, and I don't need to involve myself.
It's a certain age of Hollywood, though. There's like there's movies in that age. Like, I finally watched Citizen Kane within the last year, and I'm glad that I did that.
See, that was going to be the one I was get ready saying next. Citizen Kane. That's supposed to be like a must watch. At the end, everybody knows Rosebud, but I've never seen it.
It's a movie that I think you would enjoy. It holds up well enough. I don't think it's going to be a movie that you'll watch and be like, I should watch that again ever in my life. But to have watched it, you enjoy the journey because Orson Welles is able to craft a really strong story. And so and what he does at the for the time was really revolutionary, but you're still able to like really respect some of these shots. You're like, even today, by today's standards, that's a good shot. And the fact that he did it that at that time period is genius.
Okay. Don't hate me.
Too late. I already know I'm going to hate this.
This is going to be something where everybody's going to be like, no, you did, Terrence. All right. I have never seen the animated Beauty and the Beast. Never seen it.
Oh, that hurts me a little bit. I don't hate. I just cry.
Once again, another movie where I'm like, I know what happens. I obviously know what happens at the end. Gustav. Yeah, I know all of that. Just never seen it.
The storytelling done in the first 10 minutes with the opening number of the song Belle is like the first we've seen something like that done in the way that it was. And Alan Menken was just genius in how he wrote that song to give us all of the exposition we needed to set up several different plot points all within this brief time frame. And in fact, it's something that you see emulated now in any like animated film that has music in it. You see this a lot. Encanto had a musical number at the opening that introduced you to the town and the family. That one stupid abominable movie or whatever with Channing Tatum as one of the Yetis. Oh, yeah. Same thing. Ugly Dolls did it. I'm giving you bad examples right now. Moana did it right away. Right away, the growing up of Moana and like talking about the town and everything that she's gonna grow. Like, how many? Oh, Mulan with Honor to Us All. It's a little different in Mulan, but it's still a similar idea. But how many of these movies start off with that sort of exposition, all because it came first in Beauty and the Beast? And so that makes me sad. It's a very good movie.
I know. I haven't. You want to know another one that everybody talks about, but I'm just like, It has to be Blazing Saddles.
Oh, you haven't seen that?
I haven't seen it. I know a lot from it. I just have never seen it.
My favorite part of that movie is I can't remember exactly the circumstance of this because I've only seen it a handful of times. And it's, to me, it's not as good as Spaceballs. I love Spaceballs. Spaceballs is great. Young Frankenstein is pretty good. And it's probably about as good as Blazing Saddles, but Spaceballs was their best. So in Blazing Saddles, there's a moment when they're trying to sneak into like this group of like very racist people. I think it actually is the Klan that they're trying to infiltrate, and they're going to like put hoods on and so that they can sneak in. And so Gene Wilder pulls out, it's not Richard Pryor, it's Richard Pryor's replacement, whoever it was, pulls him out to like get attention of a couple of them. He's like, "Where are all the white women at?" And so and these two Klan members come after him and they ambush him and get there. I just love like how he delivers it. It's great.
Oh, I see. I got to see it. It sounds funny. It seems like a movie I would love to watch, but I don't know. And that's still not my biggest one though yet.
Man. It's a movie too that like they definitely, of course, they play up the racist angle of it because of the time period it was, and the mockery of the racism is very on the nose. So it, for today's audience, having that kind of on the nose mockery might not fly with as many people as it did back in the 70s, but it was ahead of its time for the 70s. People were still plenty racist back then. All right, so I'll give you a classic. I've got like four more slots on here, so I can give you a classic, and then I've got a genre that I haven't watched, essentially. Yeah. But a classic one is Breakfast at Tiffany's. Haven't ever seen that.
Yeah,
my wife watched it recently, and she watched it without me, and so I saw like the last 3 minutes of it, but I haven't seen Breakfast at Tiffany's. I know very little about it, actually. All I know is that Mickey Rooney plays an Asian stereotype very, very badly.
Yes.
And that's all I know, apart from the fact that everything else people love about the movie, I think it's just a classic film.
You know, I had an ex-girlfriend who, when I was in high school, she made me watch that movie. And right away, within the first 15 minutes, I was like, no. Even then, I was like, that's a little too racist for me. I'm like, did they really go this far with it? Like, and we're talking, what, the late 90s, early 2000s when I saw this? And so I was like, that's really racist. I was like, wow. But she was like, oh, it's great. And I'm like, yeah, it's really hard for me to swallow great racism. It's tough. That's a hard sell for me.
Yeah, it's the same thing with 16 Candles, although they actually had a racist person. They actually had an Asian person in 16 Candles, and he just exists to be a punchline.
Yeah, I was reading about that, and it was, you should watch on Netflix, there's a documentary called, it's not American Eagle. What's the other clothing brand? It's
Abercrombie? Aeropostale?
No, Abercrombie and Fitch.
Okay.
There is a whole like documentary about just how racist that store actually was and is, and how it all started. But one of the things that they talk about is how they had these like these Buddha shirts that they used to have. And it's like some real like Asian, real racist Asian. Hey, it's a little Matthew. and it was something where everybody got all up in arms about it, and they were like, well, an Asian guy came up with the shirt, and then one Asian like professor of it, he was just like, see, that's just sad. he just went off on just like, how do you feel when you're like the only Asian and all white, and everybody's like, isn't this funny? He's like, how do you think you were to deal with that?
Like, yeah, that's great. Love it.
So yeah, it is sad when you.
From what I could understand, I didn't know that story, but I knew that Abercrombie and Fitch was elitist. Which oftentimes, when you're elitist, you also are racist, and you also can be sexist too. And so I'm sure it's all wrapped into one nice little ist wrap that you have there. All right. How many do you got in yours?
I'm trying to find the other one. See, I wrote them down in random places for some reason, and I don't know why I did that.
One's on a cocktail napkin. I got one on the back of my hand.
I don't know if you guys have your notes on your iPhone. You don't have an iPhone, do you?
No, iPhones are stupid.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not even going to go there with you right now. But there are, like, notes, and it breaks it up by, like, films that you could have, so you could separate the notes. And I don't know why. I saw the label, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to put it down on my movies notes. But then I found out that each one is connected to a different email, and so I got to figure out which note was with which email. So I apologize. I have it down here. That's why Matt's the only one that can see me right now, but I'm like looking through my phone trying to find different things.
You want me to go again while you're looking for another one?
Oh, you know which one I haven't seen and I'm going to get in a lot of trouble for?
Okay.
Get Out.
No way.
I'm kidding. I saw that one.
I was going to say, like, I know we've talked about Get Out. And I'm like, the level of detail that you've had when talking about it, like, yeah, there's no way you haven't.
No, yeah, I saw that.
Hey, Terrence, Get Out. No.
You know what? Let me give you my big one.
Okay.
This one, I'm being honest. All right. The one movie that I know I will get a lot of flack for, I have never seen Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Okay, Temple of Doom sucks. Temple of Doom is actually worse than Kingdom of Crystal Skull.
I mean the first one. Let's go with that.
Oh, Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Yes, there we go.
That was bad. I like Last Crusade a lot. Raiders is absolutely fine movie. It's not like up there for me, but Crusade was really good. I felt like Sean Connery being his dad was the shot in the arm that the franchise needed and worked really, really well. I hated Temple of Doom. I didn't mind Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I know that's blasphemy for some apologists of Indiana Jones. I didn't mind it. And I liked Raiders, but yeah, loved Last Crusade.
See, I saw the Crystal Skull or whatever, and I saw Temple Doom or whatever.
Yeah.
So those, that's why I'm like, I can't stand to just go back. Like you say, these are all good, but I'm like, I don't know, man. Those two were really bad to me.
Have you seen Last Crusade?
Oh, I mean, that's what I meant. Last Crusade. Yes.
Okay. If you've seen that one, you're fine. I know some people like, no, go see Raiders. Go see Raiders. And I understand it, but I think Last Crusade is at its best. And if that's not your cup of tea, Raiders won't be either. And definitely not freaking Temple of Stupid Doom.
I just remember the ending, because wasn't that the one where the guys just melt because they like drank it? They're like, ah.
Yeah, it's Raiders.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. At the end of Last Crusade, a guy, like, he rapidly ages. At the end of Raiders, a guy's face melts and another guy's head explodes.
Yeah, I don't, I've never been an Indiana Jones fan, so.
That's fine. It's a very specific type. Did you like the Brendan Fraser, The Mummy one? Did you like that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because, like, those to me, the tone is very similar. Like, that B-movie adventure in a faraway land, that style, that isn't specifically my deal. It doesn't appeal to me a ton, but I like a surprising amount of that type of movies. Like, I'd also put Jumanji in that same list.
That's the same type.
So, I love Jumanji, loved Mummy.
The Mummy, to me, though, is a different breed. Maybe it's because of just the amount of supernatural that's involved in it. I did not get that feel from Indiana Jones. And I think the supernatural feel. And then Brendan Fraser back in the 90s was awesome. Like, yeah. He had this quick wit about him, but he wasn't cocky. And I don't get that same feeling from Harrison Ford that I get from Brendan Fraser, because he was Brendan Fraser is a little bit more softer to me, and he's more likable. That's what I found him.
He is. Even in his hard criminal look at the beginning when we meet him in The Mummy.
Yeah.
All right, here, I've got three left, so I'm going to... One of them kind of combines two different genres. So I have seen very few Hitchcock movies, Alfred Hitchcock movies. I've seen Rear Window. I've seen The Birds. And that might be it.
You didn't see Vertigo?
I haven't seen Vertigo, and I haven't seen Psycho. I know those are like his two biggies that I haven't watched. I think there might be another one that I've seen, but yeah, I've seen very little of Alfred Hitchcock. Now, I know plenty about him, especially because Universal Studios in Orlando had an Alfred Hitchcock exhibit. And that was such a cool exhibit. I'm actually sad that they got rid of it, because it was a really cool experience to go through that whole thing, but it doesn't fit the theme of the park today.
I don't know if it cut off or not, but did you say you saw Psycho?
I haven't seen Psycho. No, Psycho and Vertigo are like the two biggies for sure that I haven't seen of his, but I haven't seen a lot of other ones either.
Psycho is good.
That's what I've heard. I know the different stuff about Psycho. I know exactly how it ends and all the sort of stuff with it, but just haven't watched it. And then I've seen all the Daniel Craig Bonds, and I've seen Goldeneye. I've not seen another James Bond movie apart from those five.
Oh, you know what? I've seen all of Daniel Craig's. I actually did not see Goldeneye. I saw the one where he's like doing the whole skiing down the mountain and it's cold. What was that?
I wouldn't know. Yeah, Tomorrow Never Dies?
I think that's what it was. Tomorrow Never Dies.
Okay.
But yeah, I haven't seen a lot of them. They don't look at Daniel Craig was actually the first time where, all right, let me give this a shot. They're doing something totally new. Let's see it. And it didn't disappoint. It was good.
Yeah, Casino Royale was just a fantastic film. And I love Skyfall. I thought that Skyfall was like peak cinema, super good. And the others of that are okay. And Goldeneye was, I like Goldeneye a lot though.
I thought the last one they just did was the best one I've ever seen. If they did them like that, I would be all about James Bond. It was really good.
There, as we covered it when we talked about it, and for me, it was like, I think it fell victim to the post-editing that it had to do of losing a lot of villain storyline and stuff that they kept in. You know, I felt like there is a little bit of a mess leading into it, but there's plenty that I liked about it.
It was so good. Oh, you're crazy.
I got two big jaw droppers. You have any others on your list?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm done with my list.
Okay. So here, I think these are equal. So I've seen the first Godfather, but not part two and not part three.
Part two is the best one.
I know. I've heard that.
The Godfather's so good.
I watched Godfather 1 and it felt too long for me. And it wasn't my type of movie. And I never brought myself to like, okay, well, now I have to watch Godfather 2.
It's that movie gets all the credit it deserves. It is really, really good.
Nice. Yeah, well, I mean, again, it's that same Robert De Niro in that time frame. Another one of his I haven't seen. It's like I haven't seen his pinnacle movies, and I've seen stuff like Meet the Fockers.
Yeah. But that's hilarious.
Meet the Parents is hilarious. Meet the Fockers was not.
You know, it is far easier to watch a bad comedy, I think, than it is to watch a bad drama or a bad, like, serious film, if you will.
Yeah. Because at least bad comedies, it can hit on a couple jokes and you can laugh a little bit of your way through it. But yeah. Drama's like, I'm not buying into the story, and that's all that it's hanging on. So there's nothing left for me in this.
That's it.
All right, now this one, this is the final one that I think you'd be the most shocked about. I have not seen Steven Spielberg, one of his biggest movies and first ones, Jaws.
Jaws. That's
I haven't seen Jaws. I know. I'm sure I would like it. I feel like knowing Spielberg, I know that I would enjoy the movie. I just have never gotten around to it.
That's like the start of the summer blockbuster there.
Yep.
That movie is historic. And never seen Jaws?
Exactly. Never seen Jaws. That's my biggie.
Oh, man. That's like a masterclass of showing something but not showing it. Like, yeah. You're scared, but you don't quite know what you're scared of yet.
And some of the best horrors are the ones that they don't have the budget to show you it yet. And so it has to keep it in the dark. And that works to its favor. Like Alien. Alien did the exact same thing. I saw Alien, now it's been like 10 years. And I'm so glad I did, because I sing Alien's praises all the time. Fantastic, best horror movie I've ever seen by far. And but they did that, and they did it super well of like, we're gonna hang on. But the other thing about Alien is that they actually had a freaking scary design of the Xenomorph. It is tremendous design work, and they could have shown it early on and been completely okay.
Did you see the guy that they have like in the suit?
I've seen some behind the scenes stuff.
He's like this tall African guy, like skinny, but super tall. He looks scary by himself. He looks like Slender Man, but black. It's crazy. That's how he looks.
I don't want to meet tall black Slender Man in a dark alley.
No.
On an abandoned spaceship.
The Alien.
Well, that's it. That's my list. How many of you guys, how many were you offended by? What are some that you're like, I can't believe you haven't seen this? Or we love hearing feedback from you guys. So tell us your dirty secret of, hey, I've never seen this one. I know I should have. I'm so sorry. I need to go get some help.
You know, we have gone through our top 100, but what is one movie that you would like, say, everybody, you have to see this. If you have not seen this, like it kind of makes me angry.
Is that a question for me?
Yeah.
I mean, Jurassic Park is up there. Jurassic Park. There's some that I'm like, I really like the original Matrix. That's when I'm like, I really hope everyone's seen it. But it doesn't make me so mad at people. And especially now, because it is a product of its time a little bit, it still holds up very well. But I think a more classic one is Back to the Future for me. I love it so much, and it is such an accessible film, and I don't ever see that one aging poorly. It's been almost 40 years, and it still looks good, even with its problematic storyline of trying to get his mom to fall in love with him, or to fall out of love with him, I should say.
Yeah.
Still holds up well.
I would say that. It was good.
What's one for you?
See, I was trying to think about that, and I'm like, I don't know if I necessarily, because I know I have like a certain taste of movies, and so I know not everybody's going to be down for what I like, but if I had to pick one, I'm like Independence Day, everybody should have seen that movie.
That is like, so out of left field.
You didn't think I was gonna say that?
If I had 100 guesses, I would not have guessed Independence Day.
Yeah, Independence Day. Because it's one of those movies where, first of all, in my mind, I'm thinking Will Smith is one of the biggest actors in the world. And this was like his coming out movie. This was it right here. It had Jeff Goldblum. It was one of those, before, like, we've seen movies like this every single summer, this is like one of the first movies where it's like, oh my goodness, there are explosions. You got to see the White House blow up. There are aliens coming. Like, we've never seen like an action-packed aliens coming type of a movie. I mean, even in the movie Alien, I wouldn't necessarily say it's action-packed, and it doesn't have a family feel, that's for sure. But Independence Day still has that family feel. I don't know. For me, I'm like, come on. You have to have seen Independence Day.
I would say Men in Black even more than Independence Day. If we're sticking strictly to Will Smith movies, I would say Men in Black is the one that I'm like, how have you not seen it? It is such a hilarious movie.
See, my difference between those two, like, now you're getting into more like kind of a feel, and I feel like that people have different tastes when it comes to what's funny and what can be considered silly. But I think when it comes to action, there's not a lot of people that are like, I hate action films, I'll never go see them. It's like, you would have it, or you know what? Nah, I wouldn't be mad if somebody, I was going to say Die Hard, but I'm like, I know my wife, she didn't see it until I made her see it. But it's one of those movies, I'm like, you gotta watch Die Hard. It's Die Hard.
I do love Die Hard.
That's great.
Here's one that I know you and I can agree on. I know that you'll be like, yes, everyone should see this. Inception. It is a very accessible movie.
Yes.
Despite, I know that not everyone has, how do I say this nicely? Some people are stupid, but even though you might not be the smartest person, and none of our viewers are stupid, because if they were stupid, they wouldn't listen to us. Only smart people listen to us. But even as complicated as Inception's plot can be, it does a good enough job of making sure that you're following along. There's so much exposition throughout the entire movie to make sure that you're with it. And you might not catch everything, you know, whether you're paying attention or not, whatever, you might not catch everything that's going on the first watch, but you'll at least understand that what they're going for, and you'll understand motivations rather clearly, and you'll also understand the emotional side of the movie as well. It's very accessible in that way, but it is a nice movie that helps you feel smart, because it's a complex thing, and you're like, oh, I get what they're saying. Because they held your hand to get you to understand it, and you feel smart that way. It's nice.
It is. I was gonna say that, but I'm like, maybe it's just me. But no, I agree. It is so well done, and it gives sort of like a trippy vibe. And plus, if you're an action person, you should like it. And then also, if you're someone who likes like drama and psychological, like it gives you all that too. Yeah.
And if you like auteur films, this is like knocking on the door of that. It's both, it's as auteur as a blockbuster can be.
Sorry, you cut out on me.
I said simply, it's as auteur as a blockbuster can be. I don't know if that's a good phrase or not, but
fair enough. I would also put in there any Marvel movie. If you haven't seen a Marvel movie, at least one, I'm like, where have you been over the past like 15 years? You clearly don't go to movies if you haven't seen at least one Marvel movie.
So for that, I would say an entry into the Marvel universe that you won't miss a step on would be either the first Marvel movie, Iron Man. It's great, still holds up. Guardians of the Galaxy, it's independent and holds on its own and is a very good taste of the Marvel franchise and what they're going for. Both of those are great options.
Yes, I totally agree. If you haven't seen any Marvel movie, you clearly do not like going to movies. Clearly,
I just get blown away. People are like, "Oh, I don't like Marvel movies." I'm like, I don't understand that. I can read what you're saying, and I can read your opinions. I still can't understand that you actually believe that and think that way. I'll respect it. It's just hard for me to swallow that pill.
I know that's my first question. I've only met people that are like, "Nah, I haven't seen them." And my first question is, okay, have you ever been like open to actually watching one? Did you actually try to watch at least one? Because that, if you say you don't like, you're not into them, I'm like, come on, there has to be a one. Like, you are purposely not trying to watch this if you haven't seen a Marvel movie.
Yep. Agreed. All right. Well, let us know what are the must-sees. Let us know what you haven't watched. We want to hear from you. And stay tuned for next week, because next week we're going to talk about Marvel movies. We're going to talk about Marvel movies that haven't happened that should happen. So we're going to give you our ideas. If you're a Marvel fan, then listen to us. We're going to we're going to smack into that. And then the week after that, we're going to get Doctor Strange 2. So we got a little bit of Marvel coming out. And as we get into the summer months, so exciting times, exciting days ahead.
Happening. It's going down. Hello, my name is Terrence.
And I'm Matt.
And we're telling you, get your Marvel hats ready, because here we go into the summer, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.